Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Thank you so much. I love you. I love you, love you. I love North Campus. I love you guys so much. I pinch myself to be in this church. We've been at C3 for 12, 13 years, and the past about year and a half has been the best journey being up here with you guys. And it's just incredible to see the growth, the people that have surrounded us, and the amazing things that God's doing up here. So stay tuned, even more exciting things coming, but you guys can have your seats. Go ahead and take a seat. I have a kind of bold question to ask, only because I like to get a pulse on who I'm preaching to. If you're back for the first time from Easter, would you mind raising your hand? I just want to see. I have some people up here. Anyone over here? Thank you guys for coming back. We're so glad to have you. We love our first-time visitors. They're our VIPs, but when you come back a second time, you're extra special. So we threw a party tonight just for you, so I hope you get to enjoy it. So, you know, I'm going to try to preach fast because I know we have an after party, and I know you guys are all really excited about the after party. So I'm going to try not to keep you for too long. And I want to make a commitment to you because I'm really stepping outside of my comfort zone tonight. Like, preaching is one thing. Service leading is one thing. Tonight, what God told me to do is a whole nother level. And I'm praying that it goes over well. Like, I wrote a message, and it was more of a speech than a message. And God got a hold of my heart and said, you need to go, Holy Spirit. And so I combined the two because I know God gave me words to speak tonight, but I also want to move in the Holy Spirit. So I'm making a commitment to you right now so I don't chicken out at the end, that I am going to pray for people and I am going to minister and we are going to move in the Holy Spirit tonight. Amen. We can do it. We can do it. So we just had Easter last Sunday. How incredible was Easter? We had four services. Packed out, overflow, just the most incredible Sunday. And it was a party, you know, for Jesus followers, for Christians, it was a party day. We were celebrating what happened over 2,000 years ago and why we do what we do today. But the story doesn't end there, you know? Like, Jesus rose, and then there's 40 days that Jesus comes back and does all these incredible things. And so I was just thinking, as we're into the Accelerate series, which is going to be incredible, so this whole month, the series is Accelerate. And if you can make a commitment to be in church at least once, hopefully twice on a Sunday, I promise you, you'll see your life change before your eyes. The only thing I've done to get where I'm at today, and I still have a long way to go, is continually be in church, continually say yes to the call of God, and continually do the things that He's called me to. So it's not that hard, honestly. If you sit here, come to church, fall into the atmosphere of God, He will increase your life. Take notes. You know, Pastor Jurgen said it really well today. He said, if you have a Bible, read it. If you're reading your Bible, believe it. And if you believe your Bible, do what it says to do. So it's as easy as that. So those 40 days, what happens? We're going to talk about that. We're going to open up for scripture because that's a good place to start always when you're in church. Mark 16, 14 through 16. I'm in the New King James Version. It says, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. The title of my message tonight is Ready, Set, Go. After Jesus rose from the dead, he called us to be ready, to be set, and to go. So what does that look like for us as Christians here tonight? You know, and if you're not a Christian here tonight yet, you have a lot of people praying for you right now. And my prayer is that the heart of God can touch your heart. and that you can feel his presence and that you'll be able to make a decision for Jesus tonight. And that might be bold, but I don't really care because I know what God has done in my life, and I've seen what God's done in the people around me's lives, so I'm not afraid to say it. So I have a little story to tell you to start off. Some people here know that I'm telling this story. My husband has not heard this story. He does this to me all the stinking time. I'll hear something from the pulpit, and I'm like, you didn't tell me that. And then, like, people look over at me thinking I know what he's talking about, and I'm just sitting there going, what the heck? But I'm not doing this to get back at you, babe. But it goes really well with the series, and I figured if I'm ever going to tell this story, this is the time to do it. We're in church. He can't yell at me. He could. I'll have some people lined up to take him down if he tries to come up and storm the stage. I have my spotters. Here he goes. So about a year and a half ago, I got in a car accident. He knows this part. I wrecked my car. He knows this part. I totaled my car. And it was really bad. It was really bad. It was a bad day. We were trying to get pregnant for a third time, and I had just had IVF for the third time, and I got in an accident, and I ended up not being pregnant, and it was stressful, and it was bad, and my car was gone, and it was a bad day. And so, you know, fast forward about a year, he got me a new car, of course, and he got me an amazing car, and I have a Tesla, not a Prius. I love you, Prius drivers. Some of our best friends are Prius drivers. It's okay. Someday you'll upgrade. So what happened is, I'm so nervous. I'm more nervous to tell this story than I am to preach. I chickened out of telling it. And then someone today said, you're going to tell that story, right? And I'm like, I wasn't going to. Okay. So back on track. So about 3 or 4 months ago. So, okay, let me back up. After I totaled my car, I become uninsurable. They won't insure me. But, of course, I call some people because we know some people. And I got insured. And then my husband buys me this Tesla. And he says, if you wreck this car, I'm never going to get you a nice car. I'm going to get you a Honda, and you're going to be in a Honda. And I'm like, okay, don't do that, please. But I love Hondas, too. So about 3 or 4 months ago, he knows everything that's happened up till this point. I'm on the phone with Pastor Breezy. And I don't know what it is, if I can't talk and drive at the same time or not. You should be able to do that. But I slightly rear-ended a woman in my Tesla. Just a little bit. The only thing going through my head is, my husband's gonna kill me, I'm uninsurable, God help me. I'm never going to drive again. Oh my gosh. I'm like freaking out. And I'm like, Breezy, I have to go. I just hit somebody. And I just stop. I pull over. This woman is in a Lexus. Her bumper is jacked up. She gets out. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I don't even know. I'm so sorry. And the sun really was in my eyes. The sun was in my eyes. I'm so sorry. I'm in so much trouble. I'm so screwed. And this woman, you guys, God is so good. God loves me so much. This woman goes, okay, hold on. Let me open my trunk. Opens it, shuts it. You're okay. My trunk works. You're good. Don't worry about it. I don't even need your information. Praise the Lord. So, I just thought, since we're in the Accelerate series, it was my moment to confess to my husband, because then about 2 weeks later, he asked me, what happened to your car? And I said, I don't know. So, I'm sorry, I prayed for forgiveness. I just was waiting for the perfect time to tell you. Do you still love me? And ever since then, I've never done anything bad to my car. I just had to get that one out. All right. So the title of my message tonight is Ready, Set, Go. So since we're in the theme of Accelerate, I want to show you a few cars, and I want you to study those cars when they come up. I want you to look at them, see what you think, see how fast they are going to accelerate, see if it's going to be a good car that can actually accelerate fast. Just process as you're looking at the pictures. I'm going to tell you about the cars as the pictures come up, and I also want you to try to identify yourself in the pictures. So the first one we're going to pull up is a 2000 Saturn SL. It's fancy, y'all. This is what I would have been driving had Jesus not really, really, really loved me. Okay, this Saturn should not get its hopes too high. Besides the fact that it's old, it hasn't been very well maintained, and usually don't go buy a Saturn if you want a fast car. My first car was a Saturn, so I have no judgment. I wrecked that one too. But trust me, I wasn't getting my zoom zoom on in that Saturn, okay? So we are going to look at the second car, which is a Honda CR-Z. Here we go. Beautiful looking. Okay, the Honda CR-Z is a sporty-looking coupe hatchback. This is straight from their website, by the way. That desperately deserves some sort of powerful engine to appeal to enthusiasts, but never got one. Despite its cool look, its two-door design, and fairly low curb weight, the CR-Z did 0 to 60 in 8 to 9.9 seconds on its way to a top speed of 120. Effectively, the CR-Z was a hybrid for people who wanted to look fast, but people who actually wanted to go fast were out of luck. Okay? Next, we're going to look at the number 3, the McLaren P1. Yes! I can tell you all identify with this. This car is the real deal. It's well taken care of, it's beautiful, it's built well, and it's fast. It's 0 to 60 in 2.8 seconds. My husband would like one of those. I might owe him one after tonight. So, which car is going to accelerate the fastest? That one, yes. So how does this relate to us? And that's what I really want to talk about tonight, is how can we be a Christian? How can we be the McLaren type of Christian? How can we be the Christian that is well-maintained, well-oiled, well-taken care of, beautiful on the outside, beautiful on the inside, strong on the inside, strong on the outside, and a little bit like that, bright and shiny and ready to rock and roll? If you're here tonight and you were thinking you're more like the Honda CR-Z or the Saturn, that's okay, because that's what I love about our church. C3 is here to disciple people, and that might be a word you don't know what means looks like. All it means is we want to get you from here to here and where God wants you to be and fulfill your purposes, and you have people standing alongside of you that will help you get to that point. So how can we be the best versions that God's made us to be? You know, too many Christians identify with that Saturn, but they're okay with it. And if that's you here tonight, we're a faith-filled church. We're a church that's not about living in the comfortable place. We're a church that believes in going after the things of God and going after the supernatural and going after the X factor that God's called us to. So I wrote this little, I don't know if you want to call it it's not a poem, it's something. It's kind of a declaration, and I called it, What is a C3 Christian, and what does C3 Saved look like? Because we always joke around here at C3, we say, are you C3 Saved? Because it's a little different, and we're not embarrassed to say that we're a little bit different, because we serve an incredible God that's empowered us to be more awesome than lame Christians. That was really bad. But here it is, no judgment, like seriously, we want the lame Christians to come in. We want the lame Christians to experience the type of God that we're able to experience. And it's the only reason I'm comfortable telling you this is because I came into church as one of these people. I would have called myself a Christian. I would have said, yeah, I'm a Christian. Did I know Jesus? Was I experiencing the power of Jesus? Was I convicted by the calling? No, none of it. But what God did once I surrendered my life to him is the most incredible things over the past 12, 13 years, whatever it is. So do we have the screen? What is a C3 Christian? Okay. What is a Christian? Hey, I'm supposed to say, what is a C3 Christian? This should be all Christians. What is a Christian? This should be all Christians. A victor instead of a victim. A generous person who walks in prosperity in order to bless others. A leader and influencer in all areas of life. A prayer warrior filled with the Holy Spirit. Someone who loves unconditionally and accepts the broken and is able to lead and disciple them into wholeness and healing. Someone who operates and moves in the power of God. Someone who loves life and loves having fun. Someone who is full of joy, faith, and confidence, knowing who their Savior is, Jesus Christ. That's not on our website. That's not something, you know, we put out there for our marketing. This is what I've experienced. This is what I've seen in the lives of people around me experience after surrendering their lives to Jesus. So how do we become these people that are able to accelerate? How do we become the McLaren Christians? How do we become what I've put on this board as a C3 Christian? So I have a few points, and then we're going to get into prayer time. What I want to say first, before I get into these points, is consistency is key. So there's seasons of life, there's ups and downs, there's life that happens around us. But being able to be a person that is consistent is going to be the key to all of this working out. The first point I have tonight is faith. I love reading about Jesus because every time he rebuked somebody for their unbelief is because they had lack of faith. And every time Jesus did a miracle is because the person's faith. And if we look in the Bible at Mark 5:24 through 34, I'm going to read it. Because this is the story of the woman of the issue with blood. And what I want you to notice is that God wasn't the only participating factor in this miracle. It says, so Jesus went with him. He's on his way to do a miracle, and this happens. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. So far in the story, Jesus hasn't actually done anything. She's done everything thus far in the story. Verse 30, at once Jesus realized the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. This woman had faith, and that is, Jesus' words are, your faith has healed you. He didn't say, my power has healed you. He said, your faith has healed you. The other thing to notice in this scripture is she did it trembling with fear, which tells me, because in my head, I'm like, but you can't be full of faith and fear at the same time. But what I realized in this story is that you can have the emotion of fear and still act in faith. So here she is trembling at the thought of telling Jesus what she did, yet she's still able to act in faith. And I'm telling you, most of my life is fear on the inside and acting in faith on the outside. You know, I am a mostly conservative person, and my husband's mostly a wild person. In all the right senses, like he, in all the righteous ways. But when he says something like, you know, when I was pregnant with Micah, my first, who's now 5, when he says, I'm about to give birth in, you know, 7 weeks, and he says, oh, I found a new house that we should move into. And it's, you know, really awesome and huge, and it would take a massive miracle for God to make it happen. And I'm like, but I love the house we live in. Like, I made it how I wanted it. And I'm about to have a baby anyway, so yeah. Like, I was comfortable. But, you know, thank God for my husband's faith, and we were able to get that house, and it was awesome, and it was a stretch for me, but it was a God thing. And some of us will get in that place of comfortability of just saying, no, I'm good here. I'm good here. When we were service leaders at Central Campus at the 8:30, I literally thought one day, I don't ever have to do anything else. I'll be so happy being a service leader for the rest of my life. I was so satisfied because you just get to a place of comfortability and you're serving the house and doing the things for the kingdom. And yet God always has something more. God always has something bigger. And if it seems out of sight and out of touch, then you know it's God and you have to say yes. What else do I want to tell you? One of the most powerful ways to activate your faith is by your words. And I'm telling you, I preach this every time I preach because I've had a lot of lessons in the power of my words. Because I didn't realize it. I just heard it. You know, I read it in the Bible. And then things would start to happen in my life because I spoke it in a good way or a bad way. So one time, I'm going to give you an example. It involves a car as well. And that car got wrecked too. He knows all these ones. So I'm sitting there. Matt and I, we're only married for like a year at this point. And we had just gotten a little altercation on the phone. And I pull up to the nail salon because I have an appointment, but the appointment's not for like half an hour. So I'm trying to call my husband, and he won't answer. And I'm getting so irritated because I just want to argue with him more because the argument's not over until I say it's over. I've been delivered from all these things. So I'm sitting there, and I text him. I'm going to go, yeah, thanks for answering your phone. I just got in a wreck. Well, I hadn't gotten a wreck yet. Like, I was just trying to be crazy and get his attention. So I'm sitting there. I'm not even doing anything. I'm not even driving, nothing. I'm sitting there in a parked car, and I'm like, oh, well, this is too stressful. I'm going to rest my eyes. So I'm laying back in the seat, and I have, like, 30 minutes. And then all of a sudden, this huge boat of a car comes in, parks next to me, and on their way into the parking spot, just completely sideswipes the entire side of the car that my husband also had just gotten me, my new Lexus. So I'm like, oh my gosh. So that was a very powerful experience for God showing me the power of my words. And I guarantee you, if you look at your life, it's a culmination of the words that you've spoken over it. If you do a really, really hard look at the things that have happened, you can find traces of your words and your thoughts that have surrounded those circumstances. What are you speaking over your current situation? What can we create with our words? You know, when I first started getting the call for ministry on my life, I was so excited about the idea, but everything in me wanted to run because I was so scared to do anything that was like, when I had to go check in people for the DNA classes, which is now our grow classes and everything, I was at the table checking people in. I was nervous because to talk to someone else was a big deal because I was always the shy girl. So I had to write on my mirror, anointed, prophetic, powerful voice to this generation. And I had to read it every day. And I had to keep it there until I believed it. So we have to get in the habit of changing our words. Some of us need to speak less. And some of us need to speak more. And some of us need to cut some voices out of our lives that are speaking things that don't belong in your life. Proverbs 8:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. If you don't have something awesome to say, okay, never mind. If you don't have something good to say, or if it's even, you know, slightly negative, there's so many worship songs that are amazing. All you have to do is start singing. And I love that song tonight. You know, it says, let faith rise up, O heart, believe. You can look at your life and look at your circumstances every which way, but until you get the language over the circumstance, you will not see breakthrough. And if you just can take a song like that and just drop it into every area that you're believing for breakthrough, I guarantee you'll start to see God move in that area. All right, my second point is integrity. So the way I think about this, and I forgot to say relating to the car, the way I think about integrity is the frame of the car. And so, you know, when I totaled my car, the front was bent in. The front frame was bent in. So it affected the integrity of the car. I could no longer drive it just because one part of it was bent, which didn't seem like a big deal. When you look at it on the outside, it's like, that's not that big of a deal. That's just a bumper. You can fix it. But they said on the inside, the frame was bent. So if your integrity is bent, you will not excel quickly. So, and I know most of us are good people, so I'm not talking about the people who are good people. It's mostly in the area of small things. And the only reason that I can speak into this is because God showed me and convicted me about an area that I kept being slightly out of integrity with. And that area was, I would commit to doing things. I would say yes. I would tell people, let's hang out, let's do this. And then at the last minute, I would come up with an excuse because it was too much or I didn't feel like it or whatever. And then God convicted me on that. And he showed me the scripture, Matthew 5:37. Let your yes be your yes and your no be your no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. It doesn't say let your yes be your yes if you feel like it. And that's really the part that I had to get a hold of, is that even when my feelings didn't line up to it, I said yes, and my word is my word, and it's all I've got in this moment, so I need to stick to it. Luke 16:10 says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. What God's showing me with this scripture is to have integrity with the things and the people that God's given you. And so all of us are called to an area of influence in our lives, whether it's in work, whether it's in church, whether it's you're a mom and you have kids and you're a stay-at-home mom. We're all called to faithfulness in what is least. If you promise you'd follow up with somebody to get them serving on a team, then do it. If you promise to help someone find a connect group, make it happen. I just come across people all too often who say, yeah, I signed up for this and I never heard back. And I'm like, oh, it's like a pastor's worst nightmare. You're just here doing, you know, trying to help people find their calling and help people get plugged in. But then, you know, for whatever reason, they just get lost. And it's the worst thing. It, as Christians, it should be something that constantly is on our heart, is to get people, be faithful with the people that God's given us. As Christians, let's be people of the highest integrity, regardless of what happens to us. All right, point number three, and then we're going to get into the fun stuff. Point number three is generosity. So I see generosity as the fluid that keeps the car well-tuned, and I think my husband read my notes before this because during the offering message, he really talked about everything I was going to talk about. But obviously, God's doing something here because, and this is what God showed me, even though this is about money, it's not about money. And I know that can sound crazy, but it is about a check of the heart and an atmosphere and a space that you live in rather than just an amount of money that you give on a Sunday or outside of church. You know, it's more of a place that we live. There's over 2,000 scriptures in the Bible regarding money, so I know that God really cares about this area. Because the Bible says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I want to read this scripture, and it's kind of long, but stick with me, because it's very interesting. And it kind of put a check on my spirit this morning when I read it. It's from 2 Corinthians 8:1-9. It says, now friends, I want you to report on the surprising and generous ways in which God is working in the churches in Macedonia province. Fierce troubles came down on the people of those churches, pushing them to a very limit. The trial exposed their true colors. They were incredibly happy, though desperately poor. How amazing is that? Like, they're happy. It exposed their true colors. The pressure triggered something totally unexpected, an outpouring of pure and generous gifts. I was there and saw it for myself. They gave offerings of whatever they could, far more than they could afford, pleading for the privilege of helping out in the relief of poor Christians. This was totally spontaneous, entirely their own idea, and caught us completely off guard. What it explains was that they had given themselves unreservedly to God and to us. The other giving simply flowed out of the purposes of God and working in their lives. That's what prompted us to ask Titus to bring the relief offering to your attention so that what was well begun could be finished up. You do well in so many things. You trust God, you're articulate, you're insightful, you're passionate, you love us. Now do your best in this too. I'm not trying to order you around against your will, but by bringing in the Macedonians' enthusiasm as a stimulus to your love, I'm hoping to bring the best out of you. You are familiar with the generosity of our Master, Jesus Christ. Rich as he was, he gave it all away for us. In one stroke, he became poor, and we became rich. And I just love that verse, and I picked the Message version on purpose because that's a powerful picture of this not just being a money thing and this being a heart thing. The question is, how much of ourselves have we given over to God? Because in Matthew 10:39, it says, he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. And the reason I wanted to bring up this topic of generosity and giving is because I think it's an area where a lot of Christians hold back. And I think it's an area that can so easily be released for the amount of breakthrough that comes on the other side of it and the power that's behind it. You know, I started giving the first Sunday that I came here and haven't stopped since, and I still get convicted, even just last Sunday, on what I need to be giving to God. And my heart is that you can experience that breakthrough too. You know, we don't do an offering message in church every Sunday because we need to buy buildings and because, you know, we need to keep the lights on and buy new screens and all of this stuff. All of that is a byproduct. All of that happens because we're building the kingdom. But what happens first is your life is changed. And then we're able to see other people's lives change because of what we're able to do with the money that's brought into the house of God. And then my last point is the Holy Spirit. So all of these things are amazing. You can do all of these things in your own will, but they won't mean anything and they won't work if you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. And we haven't done this in a while, and I think this is why God prompted me to have people get baptized in the Holy Spirit tonight. And we're going to get to that. But I didn't write much about this in my notes. I have a few scriptures to read you about this because there's so much teaching on the Holy Spirit. And if this is an area you're still exploring as a Christian, I encourage you highly to make it a number one priority to know what you need to know to meet the Holy Spirit. If you need to read a book, if you need to go to Mike Connell Ministries online, if you need to read My Friend the Holy Spirit from Mark Peterson, this is what you have to do. You know, I came into church knowing nothing, and I got baptized with the Holy Spirit. But I was not really raised in a religious church. I wasn't really raised in church at all. And so it was very easy for me to receive because I was just so open and ready for what God had for me. And if you're not quite there yet, that's okay. I want our heart's desire at this church is for everyone to be able to walk in the power of God. It's not just for the pastors and the leaders and the connect leaders to be able to pray for someone and see a healing. It's for everybody. It's for every single person that comes into this church. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit the Comforter in John 14:26. The word comforter in Greek means counselor, helper. It means paraklete, which means comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. And I just don't know what it would be like to be a Christian and not have that, to not have the power, to not have the help, to not have the voice of God in every decision, to not have the power of God in every situation, to not have the power of God that motivates my faith to go after the things that God has. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit is the X factor of being a Christian, because good people can do good things. Good people can have high integrity. Good people can have faith for things. Good people can be generous. But that is not the end of it. We aren't called just to be good people. We're called to walk in the power that Jesus Christ has commissioned us with in the Bible. In John 6:63, it says, "Is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." So I want to read to you in Acts. It talks about the disciples being baptized in the Holy Spirit. So Jesus comes and you know, throws out the, now your commission is teach, disciple, lead, bring people to Christ. But then he says to wait because you're going to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, which tells me that we can work and do all we can in our own strength, but without the Holy Spirit, it's going to be next to impossible. Acts 1:4-8, being assembled together with him, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So powerful. If it's good enough for the disciples and they needed the Holy Spirit, how much more 2,000 years later should we need the presence of God and the Holy Spirit in our lives? This is a power that we all should operate in. And I'm going to end with this. The same scripture I started with. Go into all the world and make disciples. Mark 16:15-18. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. In Jesus' name. That is what we are called to as Christians. That is the power that God wants us to walk in. This will be the key to your life accelerating. You can try hard. You can go after it. You can do like my husband does and crush it 10x. And he can crush it 100x because he has the Holy Spirit. But without the Holy Spirit, good luck. So I say all that to say, you've got to have a relationship with Jesus first. And, you know, I responded to the first altar call that was ever given in my presence by raising my hand and just surrendering my life, not knowing what was ahead of me, and giving it over to Jesus. And it was the best decision I could have ever made. So I want to do that tonight because everything I've talked about is really great. And we want everyone in this church to be full of God, full of God's power, and able to lead people. It's like this. It's healthy on the inside. You're healthy on the inside. You're whole on the inside so you can outpour into other people. Every area of your life, even though there's seasons, even though things happen, even though you might be in a valley, ultimately, every area of your life is on a God track. Every area of your life is headed in the right direction. Your finances flourishing, your family saved, your friends saved, your an influence in your workplace. Everything that I outlined on that screen is for everybody sitting here. But the only way it comes is with the relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes tonight. I want to give the opportunity for anyone here that's never met Jesus and never been in a relationship. We're just going to pray with you tonight. We're going to say a simple, easy prayer. And this isn't something to overcomplicate. This isn't something, you know, to overthink and plan out what it's going to look like and all those things. This is a time to let this be between you and God. This is between you and your relationship with God and nobody else. So right now, if that's you, if you're either have never met Jesus and are simply curious to see what this is all about, I want you to raise your hand. I'm going to count to three and I'm going to have you raise your hand. And the second is if you've been away from God, or if you maybe thought God was one way, but you're seeing a new picture of God and what God is like, then I want you to raise your hand too. So I'm going to count to three, and all across this place, everyone at the same time, go ahead and lift your hand in the air and I'm going to pray with you. One, two, three. Every eye is closed and every head is bowed. I see you up there. Amazing. Anyone else here? We have one up there, one up top. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. We have one there. Don't be afraid. This is between you and God. This is the moment where you can meet your Creator, where you can see what God originally designed for your life. Anyone else? We have two up top, one over here. Beautiful. All right, you guys can go ahead and look up at me. We had three people raise their hand over here, so amen. There's a party in heaven happening right now. Those three people, afterwards, we're going to make sure you get a book and a Bible from us because we want to help you with every step along the way. We don't want to, you know, leave you hanging out to dry and try and figure out what's next. But what you can just start doing is reading your Bible. That's the best thing you can do, is just open it up and start reading what the promises of God are. Right now, we're going to get, as promised, into a time of just meeting the Holy Spirit. And I know there's several people here that have done this before, and there's several people that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. But I want us to go ahead and stand to our feet. And, you know, as we were opening in service and during worship, I actually got a couple words for a couple people in here. So I don't know if you know this, but the key to operating in the gifts, so once you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, then you have access to these incredible gifts that God has for you. The way to activate those gifts is through faith. So the number one gift is faith. Faith is actually a gift. Once you crack that one open, you're open to all of these other gifts. And so as I was getting words for people, I just felt to kind of teach on this for a second. It's so funny. Like, God had me teaching on this stuff when I was first saved in our DNA classes. And it's amazing how much I'm like, oh yeah, like it all is coming together now. I know why I was learning that as I was teaching it. But what I was going to say is that when you enter into a relationship with Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. So all we want to do is activate the gifts that he has for all of us. And prophecy is one of those. And so this is totally outside my comfort zone, you guys. Totally. Like 100%. There's like no part of me that actually loves this, except for the fact that it's God and that three people here are going to get a word. But I will tell you, I have to be obedient. I have to, because I've gotten words spoken over me that have carried me through my Christian walk for days and weeks and months and years. And so I have to be obedient. So the first person that God was highlighting to me is beautiful Grace. And some of these people, I had to ask people for the names of some of these people that I wrote down. But Grace, are you in here? Gracie, right there. Grace, God totally highlighted you to me during worship. And the word that he gave me was faithfulness. And I don't know much about you, but what I see is faithfulness. And because of your faithfulness and because what you have sown, the word from God is to not give up. The word from God is that he sees you and that you're going to have so much reward on the other side of your faithfulness. And the passions and the desires and the dreams that God has for you are so beautiful and so driven by God that you're going to see opportunities opening up. You're going to have phone calls. You're going to have people asking for you specifically in the things that you're passionate about. And I know you're creative, and I don't know exactly what. I've seen you up here on the keys before, but I know that you're going to be an influencer in the creative area. And I know that as you continue to be faithful, that God is going to continue to bless you. So, amen. All right, the second person God highlighted to me was Trent, Mr. Trent. And listen, God highlighted you before Pastor Mike was talking about the Red Bulls. So it wasn't because of the Red Bulls, even though that's cool. Red Bulls have chemicals that kill you, by the way. Okay, Trent. This is what I wrote down during worship, is that God sees you. And that it was specific to decisions that you're making, even right now, like even this week, God sees you. And when you're about to make those decisions, to ask God, and he will vividly, audibly speak to you and give you answers, and to trust him. Trust him with your life. Trust him with your decisions, and know that God's got you. God has an incredible plan for you, Trent. Seriously. Like, I'm not going to tell you because it'll freak you out. But I do see you doing incredible things and influencing men and young men around you in a positive way for Jesus. Amen. And Connor said amen. Okay, I have one more, and then everyone's going to get prayed for. Okay, I don't know this guy. I just saw him and God highlighted him. Virgil, you're an usher. There you are. Okay, this is what God showed me for you. is that your passion is contagious. Your passion for everything you do is going to be what compels people to follow you. And I see people following you. I see you doing the right thing, doing the right thing, doing the right thing, doing the right thing, and then you turn around and you have masses following you because you consistently go in the way of the righteous. Life winds upward for the ways of the righteous. And so I see God doing that, and I see you being an influence because of your passion, and not to let anyone squash it, not let anyone to speak into that, and to let it go, let your passion flow. Let your passion out. Don't be afraid of it. Don't ever think it's too much, but you're gonna be influencing people, and it's incredible. So there you go, Virgil. Thank you for being a faithful usher. You're amazing. So we're going to pray, and I'm going to ask the ministry team to come up after, you know, I say a prayer over everyone tonight. They're going to have oil, and they're going to be able to anoint you. And I just want to remind you that it doesn't matter who's praying for you. Okay, for the people that are up here, it doesn't matter who's praying for you. Out there, maybe if some random person's praying for you outside of this building, maybe. But for tonight, our ministry team is well capable, well trained. They have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. They know what they're doing. They hear from God. And so not to be afraid that if I'm not praying for you, my husband's not praying for you, one of the persons on the front row is not praying for you, it's okay. We have a ministry team on purpose, because I know we're gonna have tons of people that wanna get prayed for, and we wanna make sure everyone gets prayed for so we can go party, right? Okay. So everyone, just lift your hands. God, I thank you for your presence here this evening, God. I thank you for what you're doing. And if you have a heavenly prayer language, go ahead and pray in that right now. God, I thank you that your presence is here, God, and where your presence there is freedom. God, I thank you for releasing your spirit upon us, God. I thank you for making us bold and powerful Christians that can make an influence on this world and in this city. God, I thank you for every person that comes forward to get baptized in the Holy Spirit tonight, that they would be filled of faith. They would be filled with you, God, that they would be filled with your power, that they would see miracles, that everything you explained in your scriptures, God, would come to pass, God, that people would leave here feeling a new anointing, a new level of authority. God, people would leave here being able to speak over the situations in their life. God, that people would leave here with a new language. Lord God, that people would leave here with a new song in their spirit, a new song in their heart, able to claim your purposes, God, able to claim your love, able to claim your atmosphere into their lives, God. So I thank you for a touch. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this place. We give you this. We love you. We honor you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.